For today's episode, I wanted to delve a little into the life and work of Irish novelist Kate O'Brien. Kate O'Brien is affectionately referred to by the Irish Times as the banned Irish feminist writer who took on De Valera. She was born in Limerick in 1897 into a Catholic bourgeois family, and throughout her prolific career, she wrote between a number of genres, including plays, novels, and short fiction. Her novels were, quote, hugely popular in her time, both home and abroad. So I'm wondering if you've ever heard of Kate O'Brien before now.
No, I haven't, to be honest. And I feel like I might be exposing myself as an American, but I have not heard of Kate.
I think the name kind of rings a bell, but I'm not familiar with her. No.
Okay. So I had heard of her a couple of years ago, but I haven't read much of her work. So because I knew I was going to be talking about her today, I did start reading one of her novels, but unfortunately I have not finished it yet. But what struck me is when I started reading it is that how her work is eerily contemporary. So it feels like it was written recently, although it was written almost 100 years ago in 1936. So partly due, I assumed, to the fact that in her later works, in particular, O'Brien refined the scope of her narratives to consider in greater depth the topics of personal desire and sexualities in the context of family, religion, and society. So I don't know about ye, but reading this made me upper lip sweat a little, because talking about sexuality and religion, so especially coming from an Irish, largely Catholic environment, it makes me feel kind of nervous. The relationship between the two is not comfortable, let's say, for a lot of people. So I was wondering if you had any thoughts.
Yeah, it seems very unusual for someone to be kind of openly talking about those issues at the time. You know, like you said, it's really interesting that she seems to talk or cover quite contemporary issues, but you know, nearly a century ago.
Yeah, exactly. And Becca, I don't know about you. I know that you had mentioned that you have Irish roots. Is that right?
It is. My great-great-grandfather is from Kilkenny, Michael Patrick Brett. Yeah.
Okay. And how did you feel that kind of like influence or environment growing up at all? Like, did you feel like Irish American or?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like talking about sexuality was very off limits. And so I wonder if Kate, like, did she write under her own name or did she use like a different one?
Yeah, I believe she wrote under her own name, which is, mind blowing.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like the few instances I've heard of women talking about religion and sexuality, or even just sexuality by itself, they always use like a pen name. And so the fact that she used her own is just makes it that much more incredible.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there is a lot to unpack with O'Brien. And I think reading maybe her later works, I think people would say that she pressed against social and cultural conservatism even further by publishing a novel called Music and Splendor in 1958, which centered around a lesbian relationship. So this was also O'Brien's last finished book. So I thought there was something kind of nearly beautiful about that. This is her last work that she's left behind, and it's centralized around a lesbian relationship. So for me, that kind of blew my mind, because I suppose when I think of Irish writers in the 30s, 40s, 50s, I don't really think of, you know, them writing about lesbian relationships. So I just thought that was pretty cool. I wanted to talk a little bit about censorship here then, I guess, following on from that. And the 1929 Censorship of Publications Board of Ireland had actually censored two of O'Brien's novels, Mary Lovell, which I'm making my way through currently, and a novel called Land of Spices, are scenes of homosexual encounters and adultery. So spoiler alert, in Mary Lovell, our protagonist realizes her own sexual desire, and involves herself in a tryst with a married man, golden boy son of her host family. So the protagonist Mary is an Irish governess that went to Spain to work for this family. So essentially what I gather is like kind of an au pair, which I found interesting, because I'd never heard of governesses in Ireland before like that. And I had even asked a couple of family members and they had no idea. about the Irish governess, you know, working in Spain. So what do you, have you guys heard of those before?
Yeah, no. I wouldn't have really encountered, I've kind of perceived Irish people to go abroad to take on that kind of a role. So that's quite interesting.
Yeah, so my understanding of a governess is there is religious connection, I think, because Spain was also this Catholic country. So I actually asked Mary Clancy, who is our module lecturer. She's a great, great lecturer. And she, woohoo, Mary. But she had emailed me to say that this was something maybe above a domestic servant, but you still would have been looked down upon a little bit within the family, I'm taking. So I'm just found that interesting.
Definitely. Funny story, when I first came to Ireland, because like au pairs and governesses aren't really a thing in the States. Like they'd be quite common in like New York, maybe. But so I showed up to Ireland and someone, like an Irish man, used the words au pair. And I literally said, what is that? I didn't know what it meant. Yeah. Like at the age of 23, as a master's student, I was like, what is that? I'd literally never even heard of the concept before. Mm. And so my understanding was it was people coming to Ireland. And so you're very right, Sinead, the idea of people leaving Ireland is just an even more foreign concept to me.
Exactly. And I think, just to quote Mary, so she had said it was an obvious place for convent-educated middle-class Irish women to look for work at this time. It was an interesting area of work and relatively little known about, which makes sense because when I did a Google search, like, nothing would come up. So it's interesting. It's kind of like, I don't know, like a little secret. But so they still had to live with the family. So while probably seen as a step above domestic servants, yet they still had to follow house rules and were also looked down upon. Yeah, so that kind of fits. So in Mary Lavelle, her novel, it does, that kind of fits. She writes about this governess. And I think what we learn a lot as well about governesses is the other. There's like this community of governesses in certain areas of Spain. And we kind of learn through their dialogue and things like that, how they're treated and how they're seen. So it's just, it's pretty fascinating. I just had never kind of thought about it before.
It's also interesting that like it's kind of highly educated middle class people going to do this role and being seen as kind of, I suppose, as you said, a step above a servant, but still sort of nearly being looked down upon.
And I'm not sure if I'm correct, but just what I'm picking up from the novel, and that's the extent of my knowledge, is that these women seem like they're unmarried, you know, so I think that's another, they're unmarried middle-class women, so maybe that was kind of a more respectable thing for them to do than maybe to be at home unmarried, perhaps.
You said this book was banned, Sinead?
This book was actually banned, and it was banned because, now I haven't finished it, bear in mind, but I do know why it was banned, because she does involve herself in an affair with a married man, and also there is conversations around lesbianism and feeling, you know, one of the characters is possibly a lesbian but believes it to be a sin, and she's, you know, miserable. That's just what I'm kind of,
oh my god, can surmising. We talk about banning books though, because when I was in high school, I would literally Google banned books and then read them.
No way.
I feel like it's an incentive, you know, like you can't have it, so you want it.
That's such a form of resistance, I feel.
You know what I mean, though? Like, if you want a book to become more popular, ban it. That's the best way to do it. Like, I feel like some of the most infamous books in history were on a banned book list at some point.
And I think also that these books, obviously, if you read them now, like, they're, you know, they pale in comparison the things we talk about these days. But at the time, you know, I definitely can see. I think I have a quote here from the actual Censorship Act itself. So they kind of, this is the quote, and it's, the word indecent shall be construed as including suggestive or inciting to sexual immorality and unnatural vice, to corrupt or deprave. So it's just like, it's just crazy to read that. So they considered that book to fall into, you know, something immoral. And it's just, but I mean, it's not surprising. O'Brien's work is also a form of activist fiction in that it promotes progressive politics and sexual liberation. I know for me it felt good reading some of her work. Often I fall into a trap of viewing somewhat of a single narrative regarding Irish women in history, so it's good to position myself outside of that for a second to study Irish women in history as wonderfully complex beyond the kind of innocent, Catholic, naive stereotype, which, you know, I think even in this book, Mary Lavelle, like Mary herself, falls into that stereotype. You know, she's very innocent and beautiful and seen by the local men as kind of unscathed. And, you know, and then she kind of opens herself up to the sexual desire. So it kind of, Mary as herself kind of represents this complex woman that's kind of hidden away under a stereotype often. So that was pretty cool. I'm enjoying it. I actually really like the book. So which I'm surprised by, because often if I hear a book is written in 1920 or 1930, I kind of get nervous going into it. It's proving, you know, nice. So O'Brien died in England, actually, in 1974. Recognition of the author's importance to Irish and European writing continues to grow. Her work has contributed greatly to feminist and queer scholarship, and O'Brien has since had a street named after her in Avila in Spain, and there is even an annual Kate O'Brien weekend celebrated in Limerick, so she's quite, you know, a well-known
I think
figure.
It must be from Limerick, from my time as an undergraduate, that maybe I heard of her there, because the name definitely rings a bell, but I didn't know her story in detail.
Yeah, exactly. And I would have been the same way. I just kind of heard her name kind of in a mixture of maybe notable female authors or something like that. But I hadn't heard too much. So an ending quote from an article by Margaret O'Neill that I thought was really nice and stuck with me was, "With such visibility in the wider cultural arena, the possibilities opened up by O'Brien's visions of sexual and political freedom continue to hold the potential to enact more inclusive concepts of national identity in Irish society."